so far in the book of Acts, Paul has been has now been arrested, and actually, you might even say that he was saved from the mob that was trying to beat him to death. And so, we're going to look at a little bit more of the story here of Paul's arrest. And so, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've provided for us in your word. We thank you for the book of Acts. We thank you that Luke took the time to listen to the Holy Spirit and write down what you desire. We thank you for that. We thank you that we have the accounts of the early church and what happened in the lives of people involved in the early church. We thank you and we praise you for that. Thank you that we can look at these things and just study and glean from it. Or just probably for anything to get out of this, Lord, that we can just turn and say, thank you, Lord. We praise you for what you've done in the life of the early church. And we can give you the glory. We can give you the honor. And we can just praise you for what was started at the beginning and how the Holy Spirit worked in the lives of these people. And we just do thank you and praise you for what you've given to us here in the book of Acts. And Lord, help us now as we continue to study it, to open up our hearts and minds, Lord, to your word and for us to bring to it in Christ's name. Well, Acts chapter 22. I appreciate Brad reading Romans chapter 1. You may think, well, how is that going to work with Acts chapter 22? Because verses 22 through 29 is Paul declaring his citizenship in Rome, or as a Roman citizen. But Brad read Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. And that section of Scripture is part of Paul's opening statement to the Roman church. It's part of Paul's opening statement to the Roman church. And remember, in all of what's going on here, Paul is actually trying to make his way to Rome. And in the process of everything that is going on, of course, now he's almost beaten to death. He's now under arrest. And so, really, this is just going right along with what needs to be, or what's being done. And so, in Romans chapter 1, we see Paul's opening statements to the folks in Rome. The previous verses in Romans chapter 1 presents Paul's apostleship, which is oftentimes a typical thing in the opening of a book for Paul. But then he also greets the church there in Rome. He praises them and mentions how he prays for those believers in Rome. But he also mentions his desire to preach Christ and share in mutual encouragement through their faith in Christ. In other words, Paul says, hey, listen, your faith in Christ has been a testimony, and I want to be encouraged by that. And at the same time, I want to encourage you also through my faith in Christ as well. And it brings, we see that it is from this that Paul, he explains that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there in verse 16. He says, brings salvation to all who believe, not just the Jew, but Greeks. And notice he uses the word Greeks. A lot of times Paul uses the word Gentile, but he's talking to those in Rome, and he refers to them as Greeks now. But he says that it is also to the Greeks as well, not just to the Jews. The gospel is the power of God that brings the righteousness of God, and that righteousness is bestowed upon those who believe, those who have faith in Christ. And this is not an act of merit on our part. It's totally and completely an act done by God, not us. I cannot walk around and say, look at me, I believe. It's not a merit on my part. I can't walk around and wear a star on my chest because it wasn't me. I'm not the one who did the work. I'm not the one who did the job. I'm a recipient of something. If you recall, the person in the Old Testament, Abraham, when God called Abraham to go to the land of promise, Abraham responded out of that promise. And it wasn't because he obeyed God that God gave him the land of promise, the land of Canaan. It's because God promised it to him. Abraham responded that. And so Abraham just went and claimed what God gave him. And so God gave us a way of salvation. He paid for it completely. And so the question is, are we going to claim it? Are we going to redeem it? Or are we going to refuse it? There's a Christian music artist. His name is Big Daddy Weave. Don't let the name scare you. That's just what he goes by. His name's Big Daddy Weave. He wrote a song called Redeem. And the chorus says, I am redeemed, you set me free. He says, I'll shake off the heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I am not who I used to be. I am redeemed. See, the problem is that many are still bound and stained by sin because of their unrighteousness, because they've suppressed the truth. I like the way that song kind of presents it. You know, we have an option. You know, we have, salvation has been bought, paid for. But the problem is we tend to want to still be bound by the chains of sin. We want to wear the stain of sin. And we don't allow Christ to take care of those things for us. We hold them ourselves. And the picture that we need to understand is that it's been taken care of. All we have to do is just go ahead and shake the chains off. Let it go. Let the stains slide off of you. Wipe them away. They're not sticking to you anymore because Christ has taken care of those things for us. But in Romans chapter 1, the key part to this is that they suppressed the truth. And all throughout what's going on here with Paul in his account in the book of Acts is they are suppressing the truth. They're suppressing the truth. They're refusing the testimony that's been given to them about Jesus Christ. They're refusing it. They're suppressing, no, we're not going to accept it. We're not going to take it. They're suppressing the truth. Paul, in Acts chapter 22, he gives his testimony. And in chapter 22, verse 22, it says, up to this word, in other words, up to this part of his testimony, they listened to him, but after that point, they stopped him. They raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. In other words, get rid of him. He's dead. Get rid of him. We don't want him alive anymore. It says, for he should not be allowed to live. They suppressed the truth. They rejected the testimony that Paul gave them about Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ had changed his life. They rejected it. They suppressed the truth. Paul says that the wrath of God is revealed because of ungodliness, unrighteousness. No one can shake a finger at God and say that I did not know I have been redeemed. Why can they not say that? Why can they not say that they cannot, that this stuff has not been done? It's because, just one thing, look at creation. Look at how God has loved us just through creation, especially in Jesus Christ. And so these folks, this Jewish mob is representative of how the most people in Israel feel about Jesus Christ. If they suppressed the truth. They suppressed who Jesus was. They didn't want this man. They refused him. And it shows in how they respond to Paul's testimony. And so in Acts chapter 22, verses 22 through 29, I'm going to read that, continue reading that. And so 22, I'll read that again. It says, up to this word, they listened to him, they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune, in other words, the commander of the Roman army, ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they are shouting against him like this. And when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" And when the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen." And so the tribune came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" And he said, "Yes." And the tribune answered, he said, "Well, I bought this citizenship for a large sum." And Paul replied, Paul said, "But I am a citizen by birth." And so those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And immediately the tribune also was afraid. The question is, why were they afraid? For he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. His citizenship mattered. He was a Roman citizen. In this tribune, he had bound him. When the crowd was beating him to death, they actually brought him, bound him. And Paul was standing before his Jewish people giving his testimony, and he was standing there bound. He's been like this for some time. And the Roman commander's thinking, okay, I could be in a lot of trouble here because I just took a Roman citizen who's not been tried, who's uncondemned, and I've had him bound, and now I'm fixing to beat the information out of him, so to speak. Fixing to try to get an answer. And the reason why he's trying to beat Paul, the reason why he's trying to flog him to get the answer out of him, because he thinks that Paul's not telling the truth, but he can't get an answer from the people because the people are so stirred up that they can't give a clear answer. One group says this, another group says this about Paul, and the commander's confused. He said, "Well, I'll just beat Paul and we'll flog him until he tells the truth." So yeah, the commander's afraid because now Paul has spoken up and said, "Well, I'm a Roman citizen by birth." That's even better than the Roman soldier, the commander, who says, "I have bought my citizenship." Well, how did the Roman commander buy his citizenship? Well, he's in the Roman military. One of the things that was really nice about the Roman government is that if you served in the military, it did not matter where you came from and who you were. If you served in the Roman military, you came out on the other side as a Roman citizen. Right, so he's saying, "Hey, listen, I'm a Roman citizen, but I'm a Roman citizen by, I bought this. I bought this because I'm in the army. I'm in the military." And Paul says, "Well, I got one better than you. I'm a citizen by birth." Well, Paul has already alluded to this. If you read earlier, Paul had already told him that he was someone who was from Tarsus of Cilicia. And if the Roman commander knew anything, which he really probably didn't understand the situation because he bought his citizenship, but if he had really been paying attention and knew his stuff, he would have realized that the city of Tarsus had actually become what they called a free city in the Roman government. And anybody who was born in that city would have been considered a Roman citizen. So if the Roman commander had actually been listening and paying attention, he would have realized that, hey, this person's a Roman citizen. I need to be careful with what I'm doing. Now he realizes he's done something wrong. He's crossed the line. He's taken a Roman citizen. He's bound him up. He's not even been tried. And now he's fixing to try to beat information out of him. So, yeah, he's afraid. He's afraid for his life because this really could mean his life. He's done something wrong. As a Roman citizen, Paul had special privileges. And Paul is in this position because the Jewish people as a whole have suppressed the truth in their unrighteousness. Their unrighteousness is in seeking their own merit for a right standing before God. That is where the Jewish people had come to. They went through the works of the law. They went through all the things that they had to do to stand before God. But the thing was, they weren't relying, they weren't resting on God. They weren't resting on their faith. What they were resting on was what they did to give them a right standing before God. And so, the just shall live by faith. Paul reminds them of that And so their righteousness is trying to seek their own merit for a right standing before God. They have rejected the revealed truth of Jesus Christ, even after Paul's own testimony. And in the midst of all of this, it really brings out the understanding of Acts 28:28, which says, and rings aloud, "Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen." The Jewish people, they have suppressed the truth. They've refused it. They've rejected it. But it seems like now the Gentiles, the Greeks, are open to it. They're receptive of it. They will listen to the testimony that Paul has about Jesus Christ. And so the Jewish people, for the most part, they have stopped listening. If you recall, Jesus even told Paul that this is what would happen. Jesus told Paul that this is the very thing that will happen, that they will reject your testimony, Paul. And that's the reason why at the very beginning of Paul's conversion, Jesus said, "Get out of Jerusalem, because they're going to reject your testimony. Get out and go to the Gentiles, because they will listen to that testimony." And so Paul, he gave them his testimony, and what did the people do? They rejected it. They rejected the truth. They rejected the very proof that they had before them as well, that lives can be changed because of Jesus Christ. When Paul addressed the Jews, he used his Jewish heritage to appeal to his own people. But when Paul was in private back there in the barracks about to be beaten, that's when he brought up the fact that he's a Roman citizen. You think, well, why didn't he do that when he was out there on the front steps of the barracks and he was giving his testimony? Why didn't he tell the people, why didn't he tell the Roman commander then that he was a Roman citizen? He was being bound, standing there before the people. Why didn't he do that? Because if you understand anything about the relationship between the Romans and the Jewish people, to be a Roman citizen was kind of like not a good thing. You didn't kind of mention it. Be a Jew, but don't mention that you're a Roman citizen. Things change at that point. You kind of start getting looked at with a little bit of hatred. And so if Paul had mentioned that out there, would the people have listened to him? Absolutely not. Would he have ever gotten a single word out about his testimony and about how Jesus Christ changed him from this person who persecuted the church to is now preaching and teaching the person of Jesus Christ? He would never got a word out. They would have rejected him at the onset. They would have said, "Get him out of here." So Paul, he says, hey, he stands before his own people. He says, look, I am a Jew. He said, not only am I just any kind of Jew, I was educated under one of the greatest Jewish rabbis. He said, I was a Jew of all the Jews. If you wanted to find a Jew, I was there. I was that person. But when he's back there in those barracks, that's when he says to that Roman soldier, he said, hey, listen, I'm a Roman citizen. Be careful with what you do. So Paul kind of brings out that card that says, hey, listen, I'm a Roman citizen. And really, Paul could have carried around papers that had that as his, that showed that he was a Roman citizen. Now you think, well, anybody could cry out, oh, I'm a Roman citizen, I'm a Roman citizen. Anybody could have said that, right? The Roman government understood that. And the Roman government had very stiff penalties for if you did declare Roman citizenship and you didn't actually have it. What do you think the penalty might be? Death. The penalty would be death. So Paul's not going to sit there and declare that he's a Roman citizen, because if he did, you might as well just off with your head. You might as well be done with it. You're going to be executed. So it's not something that he would do just kind of flippantly. And so, yes, you could be put to death if you declare citizenship falsely. But Paul's citizenship gave him a right to a hearing. The information would be vetted. There would be court proceedings. And so Paul knew what he was doing. He also understood that his citizenship was probably another way that he could get to Rome. He's a Roman citizen. As a Roman citizen, he has a right to appeal. Matter of fact, he has a right to appeal to the highest authority, which would have been Caesar. He has that right as a Roman citizen. It would be like us appealing to the Supreme Court and having our case heard before the Supreme Court of the United States. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul explains the things that he suffered. And Paul had suffered quite a few things. But Philippians chapter 3, he explains the things that he had suffered was for the purpose of Jesus Christ. And Paul knows that he was made right before God through Jesus Christ and not of his own merits. This righteousness that he had did not make him perfect. He said that was still future. He said, I'm not perfect right now. He said, I'm still a sinner. He said, I still struggle with these things. He said, but there is a future time that he's looking for, that time when he's going to be perfected. And so he also explains to the Philippian believers in chapter 3 that he is pressing forward towards something better, eternal life in the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 3, in verse 17 through 19, I'm going to read that. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so Paul encourages those believers in Philippi to imitate and follow those who hold to the same example that Paul and the other apostles have set. He warns them that there are some who are enemies of the cross. They have their mind on earthly things. Why? Because those enemies are citizens of the world. And so Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 says that our citizenship as believers is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. So Paul understands that ultimately he has another citizenship, and that citizenship is in heaven. If you want to know of a citizenship that matters the most, that is the best citizenship that you could ever, ever have. Hey, Josiah, do me a favor. Flip through those. This thing is not working. Awesome. Just keep flipping. I'll tell you to stop. All right, one more. All right, leave it right there. Awesome. And so Paul explains to these believers that they already have a citizenship in heaven, and as such, we should set our minds on those things that are above. Church, we can be proud that we're American citizens. I brought my passport here today. Almost 10 years ago now, my wife and the whole family, we all went to Ecuador, and we had to get one of these. It's kind of cute pulling out the passports of the kids because they were much younger. And to see their pictures was interesting, especially the pictures of one child who did not want their picture taken. I won't name any names, but you could tell in the picture that they did not want their picture taken for their passport. But this is my passport. As citizens of the United States of America, we have... we're involved in a tremendous amount of benefits. One of the benefits that we have here in the United States is that we can meet as believers together here without the fear of persecution. That might change one of these days. But for right now, we can come, we can meet and gather as believers without the fear of persecution. But citizenship in the United States does not afford you rights in heaven. Even though this country was founded on Christian principles, founded by godly people, it does not infer upon us some right standing before God in heaven. This citizenship can't do that. As a matter of fact, being a member of this church, or really being any member of any church in this town or across the world, is not going to give you any kind of benefit as well when you come to stand before God. You can follow all the sacraments, you can follow all the other rules and regulations that you can find in Scripture. None of those things will give you a right standing before God. The only way that you will achieve a right standing before God comes through your faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, citizenship in heaven comes through Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 explains that upon faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit seals us. I'm going to tell you, it's kind of like your passport. It's kind of like your passport. You know what the passport really does? The passport doesn't get you out of the country. Matter of fact, the passport doesn't really get you into another country, okay, but they're going to want it. Matter of fact, when we went to Ecuador, I've got stamps in here for when we got there and when we left and when we came back in the United States. I got stamps in it. This passport tells the person at the gate of the United States of America that I am what? An American citizen. So that when I come back to the gate, so to speak, I show him this. It says, look, here is the proof he can come in. And you know, when we came in from Ecuador in Florida, the guy said, where's your passport? Looked at our passport. He said, thank you. We got through the whole process. We put that up. And he said, welcome to the United States of America. He said, you will not need this again. You are a U.S. citizen. He said, you can. I was like, that's really nice. That sounds really good. Sounds like I'm important, like I'm somebody. The Holy Spirit does the same thing in your life. The Holy Spirit is your passport. The Holy Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit testifies and says before the Father, hey, listen, this person has faith in Christ. This person has accepted what Christ has done for you on the cross. So that guess what? When you come to heaven, the Holy Spirit has sealed us and says, this person is legit. He can come in. Because there's going to be a lot of people on this earth that's going to look around, that as you look around, they're going to be like, hey, these people are really good people. They should be going to heaven. But the problem is if they don't have the Holy Spirit to seal them, when they come before the Heavenly Father, when they come before the throne, they're going to be, no. You don't have the passport. It's not there. You don't have it. Holy Spirit has a very important function in our lives. And oftentimes we don't use it very often. It testifies to God of not only our relationship to Him through Jesus Christ, but it is a way that I can contact Him in prayer. You know, what is really nice about a passport is that if I'm in another country, I can go and find the consulate. I can go and find the building that the United States uses and says, hey, listen, you can come to us and you can talk to the country that you're a citizen of. So in this case, you can go there. But the one thing that they're going to want to know is that you have a passport when you go there. The Holy Spirit, as we pray, is what we need to communicate to heaven, to our Father. Without the Holy Spirit, it just kind of falls on deaf ears, you might say. The Holy Spirit is very, very important in our lives. The Holy Spirit also identifies us not just as a citizen of heaven, but it also helps form my identity as a citizen in heaven. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 states that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. As a citizen of heaven, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, there are some attributes that is expected of me. And the Holy Spirit helps bring those things out in my life. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And so the Holy Spirit molds believers to be like Christ so that my identity is no longer, you know, an American citizen. My identity is no longer me as a person who is a sinner. My identity is someone who can be identified with Christ. The Holy Spirit also helps us understand God's Word. John 16:13 talks about that. The Holy Spirit also testifies to the truth of Jesus Christ. Last time I checked, I haven't quite seen Jesus. I haven't been to heaven and went in there and said, "Hi, Jesus." I haven't done that. But the Holy Spirit testifies in me about Jesus. He says, "Hey, listen, he's real." He gives me the peace that I need in my life. Helps me understand who Christ is. Helps build that relationship that I have with Him. And so He testifies of the truth of Jesus Christ. It also gives spiritual gifts to help serve and function in the body of Jesus Christ. One thing that I would never thought that I would be doing would stand up here on stage and be, you know, teaching, preaching the Word of God. When I was younger, I got extremely nervous at just the thought of standing up in front of people and talking. I would shake. Let's just say I would shake. My knees would shake. You see the cartoons where the knees are knocking and things like that. That was me, literally. Matter of fact, when I first went to Tennessee Temple University, that first semester, they called and had me come up to pray. Chapel time, and I walked up there, and you want to talk about being nervous? I was nervous. But in the process of all of this, the Lord changed something about me. That getting up and doing something like this does not make me that nervous anymore. Now, I still shake, but I shake for other reasons now. So, like, if you ever saw my hands shake. That's just because of the medicines and things that I take now. But I don't shake. I'm not nervous when I stand up and preach God's Word and teach God's Word. And it's not because of me. It's not because I'm a great, great speaker. I don't talk very well sometimes. But I can stand up here because the Holy Spirit has worked in my life, has taught me, has helped me grow in that area, has given me something that I could not do before, which is to get up and preach and teach God's Word. Because there are some people who could outspeak me in a heartbeat, and that's their gift. And it might not be their gift because of Christ. That just may be their natural gift, their natural talent that they were born with. Since that was something that was not my natural talent, not something that I was born with, God gave me that to do. And so God does that in the body of Christ. God gives people certain gifts that they can use that they might not have ever had experience in doing before. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And so when we think about it, citizenship matters. It matters so much that we are expected to conduct ourselves in certain ways. We are supposed to conduct ourselves in such a way that we are now focused on the things of God. We are to be heaven-minded, focused on the things above. We are in an ongoing process of changing our identity from that of this world to that of Christ. And this process expects our focus to shift to the things. So in the book of Acts and in Paul's epistles, we see how God renewed Paul from being bent on persecuting the church to proclaiming the truth that Jesus is the Christ. Paul's identity was changed. He was changed from being a Jew, a Roman citizen, to that of being someone who was Christ-like. He set himself on the things above. He sought after the Lord's will, his desires. He wanted to be like Christ, and he sought his things. He set his mind on those things that were above. The things of God became more and more important to him. And just as Paul strove toward this newfound citizenship in heaven, may we also do that as well. And it begins with faith in Jesus Christ. Because there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Citizenship matters. And I can have my hands in so many pots in this world, so to speak. I can have so much involved in this world. I can be involved in so many things as far as good works. I can be involved in so much that brings glory to myself. But in the end, what matters is, where does my citizenship ultimately lie? Because my citizenship here in the United States does not save me. The only thing that saves me, the only thing that brings me to heaven, is that my citizenship is in heaven through Jesus Christ. Not from the things that I've done, but through the work of Jesus Christ. No merit of myself. And so here, these Jewish people have rejected Paul's testimony. They rejected the best citizenship that they could ever have. They said that their citizenship as a Jew was far more important than their citizenship as a believer in Christ. Think about these things this week as you go through the week. Are we being someone who is focused on the things above? Or are we grounded and focused on the things of earth? Because that will tell us where our citizenship really lies. Am I focused on how things are conducted here? Am I making sure that I'm the one who receives the glory? Am I making sure that I am sitting, and I might say, fat and sassy, so to speak? Am I the one that's really seeing to myself? Where does my citizenship really matter? Am I thinking about heaven? Am I thinking about those things above? Or am I still stuck on the things of earth and concerned about those things? Am I still wrapped up and caught up in sin? Where is my identity? Is it found in Christ? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to work in my life and change me and mold me to something better, to be like Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you have given this opportunity to be here. We praise you and we thank you for what you're doing for us in Christ. We thank you that the Holy Spirit works in our lives to change us, to mold us, to be more like Christ. And Lord, help us to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. Help us to make that choice, that decision daily in our lives to let the Holy Spirit mold us and make us more like Christ. Our identity should be that of the things of heaven. And help us to set our minds on that thing, on those things that are above, those things that concern you, Lord, not the things that concern this world, but the things that concern you. Help us to break away from the bondage of sin in our lives. Help us to put those things aside and solely focus on you in our lives. Lord, just allow the Holy Spirit to testify to who you are, to help us understand your word. Help us to just be able to communicate with you, Lord. Help us to understand that. Know that in our lives that we have the Holy Spirit. When Christ told his disciples that he was going to leave and send somebody better, you really did send somebody better. You sent somebody that could indwell us and testify to the Heavenly Father of our relationship. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us in Christ. And we ask ask that you will strengthen us now and encourage us this week as we press forward. Help us to look on those things above. Help us to be concerned with you and what concerns you. We do thank you again for this morning. It's in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to